pale horse. The man who sat on him was death, and hell followed with him.
You're killing me, man.
Hello and welcome to Declaration of War. We are your hosts, Alexei Avkard and Artemis Elbosa.
Howdy, howdy.
And we are joined by one half of the best guest of 2019, the Noir MVP and the Rookie of the Year, Andy Astronaut.
Hey, what an intro.
Only half the best guest, though. Where's the other half? I'm disappointed.
The other half, one Brisk Rubal, will join us for a future episode. He is super excited to come back onto the show. Which will be kind of cool, because last time we talked to him was not under the best of circumstances.
I'm actually really excited for that. He was actually my vote for best guest. Number one, because I didn't want to vote for myself, but number two, I like legitimately thought that was a really good episode.
I will not reveal my own voting, but yeah, he was definitely up there. Like, that episode was timely, and he was very frank and open and just overall a great person to interview. So, super happy to have Brisk back on very soon.
But alas, we have Andy.
It'll just have to do, won't it?
That's okay. He's a better noir pilot than he is a Declarations of War guest, so we'll get on with the show.
I'll do my best.
Now, if you out there would like to qualify for the Noir MVP and Noir Rookie of the Year, we are recruiting. We are on contract now out in Fountain. We've been on contract in Declan. We've been on contract in Wormhole Space. We've been on contract in High Sec Space. We've been on contract in Low Sec Space. If you want to get out there and see all that Eve has to offer and get paid for the pleasure, join Noir. We could use pilots of any specialty, really. Logistics pilots, tacklers, electronic warfare specialists, probers, combat explorers, scouts, dictor pilots, command destroyer pilots. We're looking for all that stuff.
Oh boy, are we getting paid, though. Like, this most recent contract, well, I say it's a contract. It was really just an excursion while we were bored.
Woo!
Yeah, it's really nice. I'm excited for us to get to that. That was great.
Well, we can transition into that. It's, for who? Outlines. For who? For what? Let's talk about our wormhole activities.
So sometimes blind squirrels find nuts, and sometimes noir pilots find blind squirrels. And in this
and
particular case, yeah, the blind squirrels had squirreled away a large number of nuts.
How far do we want to take this metaphor?
I think we pretty much covered it. But yeah, so we ended up bashing a lot of structures in this hole. It ended up being, I don't even know how many, I think like 6 Athenors and 2 Astrohouses. Looks like 5 Athenors and 2 Astrohouses. No, 6, there we go. And we came out with just under 40 billion loot. Yeah, and then I was looking at how much we actually destroyed too, because there was just like so much we couldn't even take it all, and we also destroyed about 20 bill. Granted, a lot of that was structures, but there was a lot of just junk that was like not even worth pulling out.
So all told, about 60 bill.
Yep. Yeah. So we came out really far ahead. I don't know if we took any losses. Actually, I think we took some losses to third parties that came in and kind of ganked on one of the last structure bashes, but as far as to the people we were evicting, like, I don't think we lost a single thing.
I believe we lost 2 fights to that third party in question.
Yeah, I think one they traded evenly, and then the second one they came back and I think won pretty handily. It was a super early timer, so it was definitely one I wasn't at. I was still like half asleep in, or fully asleep in bed about like, I think 4 a.m. for me or something like that. So it was a little early for my blood.
Yeah, but pro tips to the aspiring FCs listening to us out there. If you have an RR fleet, make sure it all warps off at the same time. Because otherwise, problems happen.
So I want to just like make it clear the number of timers that happened here. I think the guy with the most timers that he attended in Noir, was it 18 for this op, is my memory?
I think so. I think it's posted. I can double check for you.
But like, there was one particular night, I want to tell the story, where it was a bunch of armor timers and like one hull timer, and I was there, and it was, I think it was five timers, four or five timers in total. And they're spread apart like an hour, 2 hours between them. And we were like, okay. Oh, no, it was two hull timers and some armor. And we're like, okay, that's fine. We can bash a timer and then everybody can go watch Netflix or grab food or whatever and then come back and et cetera, et cetera. Well, we get to the first timer and it's an Astro. And it's a hull timer. So we kill it and we're like, oh, no loot. And then like 3 minutes later, just a million cans everywhere start spawning. And so we're like, we have one hauler. This is not going to work. Everybody, if you have alts, you can get haulers, go and do that. And if you have mains, you can get haulers, go and do that too. So we started looting and we had 2 hours till the next timer. And we did not finish looting in time for the next timer. So we go over, we leave the cans where they were, mash D scan to make sure nobody's stealing our stuff. And we kill the next timer, which is also a haul timer. And it drops even more loot. So we go through and we loot that one. Unfortunately, we managed to loot both of them before the next timer came out. But it was a good 5 hours straight of structure bashing and then just hauling all of this stuff out of the wormhole. It was nuts.
Yeah, so I found that the timer sheet and the max was 18 by Asar. So shout out to Asar for showing up for almost, I think, every single timer he was there.
Yeah, that's pretty hardcore. Acer, and just in general, has been super active lately, and I've noticed it and appreciate it. He's a good dude, works hard, kicked a lot of ass on this, not contract, but this campaign, let's call it.
Yeah, he's been doing great. I think he's also the one that FC'd the fight that didn't go so well, but I think that's one of his first time FC'ing, and it seems like it went like decently well, and he like put together a really good AAR, so... I think like he definitely knows, like he can like figure out what went wrong and what to do next time. So I have high hopes that he'll like turn into a really good FC too if he wants to.
Yeah, I mean, we've all had really embarrassing learning experiences, but he's learned from it, which is the important thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Had messed up fights this past year where I was like, oh fuck me, like I definitely should have done this really obvious thing that I just didn't do. I should have put this in the fleet because of course the enemy fleet would do the X, Y, or Z, and it just never, you know, when you're in the moment, it doesn't always seem as clear, especially for an FC that's just developing, but even for veteran FCs like me. So I give him a lot of credit for even stepping up into that role. And like you said, his AAR was pretty awesome. Very on point. He clearly learned from the experience and knows what to do better and kind of just cares about that process. And I think that's the important thing.
I would like to point out, he definitely needs to rebrand from Asar to Acer, because Acer is much cooler.
I think that's actually how you say it, but I don't know.
Has everyone in Corp just been saying his name wrong until Alec turns up and is like, yo, it's Acer?
I'm not 100% sure, but it's entirely possible.
Hang on, he's in comms. Let me go ask him.
All right, go ask him, find out. We can get the verdict.
For the benefit of the audience, we are now recording Declarations of War on the NAR Discord. Just because we have a bot that can do it, and our previous TeamSpeak server is out. So we now have the benefit of like hopping up and dragging down various random members of NAR from their activities.
Yeah, it works great. But yeah, just to second your point, Alec, like I definitely have footage of fights where I've messed up like substantially, rewatched it, been like, oh, I did this wrong, and then deleted it and never talked about it again. So I think we've all been there before.
Okay, well, as it turns out, Acer has had another learning experience today where he found out that his name is in fact pronounced Acer and not Asar, as he was for some reason confused that it was pronounced Asar. But that situation has been resolved. It is now Acer card.
No relation. I like it.
All right. Sounds good. I'll have to remember
it's
that.
It's all about branding.
Yeah, I like it.
I think my most embarrassing at least the thing that I am least proud of FC wise this past year was when we had a nice big ball of Nurgles out in Nullsec, and a very takeable fleet warped on top of us, and I decided to keep hitting this Athanor and kite away from the fleet that landed on us instead of just turning around and brawling with them, because as it turned out, we definitely had enough reps to tank them, but not when I strung the fleet out to that degree and gave them time to like isolate our Logi frigs. If we had just turned and shot them immediately, it would have been an easy win. But as it was, we did reinforce the structure, but wiped like half the fleet, and I was very embarrassed. It was like my first time in like a really pitched fight, and I was nervous about having the timer reset and stuff, so I made a very bad decision.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and think about like what fight has gone pretty poorly, but I guarantee there's more than one.
It's been a while since I've done like the FC thing properly, because I've just been lazy and also scared of screwing up. But the one that sticks out in my mind isn't really like bad decision making, but it is. So it was, if anybody remembers back when Cruiser's Crew was a thing, they anchored a Keepstar down in Losec somewhere, and like all of Eve showed up to kill this thing. Everyone knew this thing was going to die. Everybody was just piling onto it. The Imperium, even after they had been kicked out of Declan, just dropped a whole crap ton of supers on it. It was going to die. And I was there with an MC Cerberus fleet just bouncing around the grid, fighting things. We had a good brawl with the stuffed out Nightmare fleet, which I think I FC'd pretty well. And then we were just on this grid, bubbles everywhere. And I was warping us from ping to ping to ping, combat probing at the same time. And near the end, or I guess it was the end for us, I took us in for a warp in order to get on some capital kill mails. And I click the warp button, and I settle out on comms. Well, I hope we don't get caught in a bubble, boys. And what do you know, we get caught in a bubble 10 kilometers from the Imperium super fleet and wipe the Serbs.
Oh, no!
And the worst part of it was, there was just enough HP left on the Keepstar that none of us got on the kill mail.
Oh, that's the worst.
That's brutal.
So that was fun. Like, we had been bouncing around this grid, dodging fighters, dodging nightmares, dodging whatever random nonsense like jacked-off fleets were being thrown at us. And then just like, I wanted on some capital dreadnought kill mails and took a bad warp and wiped the fleet.
No, it's heartbreaking. But what's not heartbreaking is all the money we pulled out of that was worth exponentially more than all the losses we took during the entire duration of the job. And yeah, Andy, how much of that is going to the Alec Titan Fund?
That is to be determined. it has not been earmarked yet. But we did pull out some Drakes that I think we're going to do some meme fleets with. And we also
pulled out a Drake fighters BPO. Like, we have an unlimited Drake fleet now because we got a Drake
BPO. Is it actually a BPO? I was looking
actually
through
a fully researched BPO. At least that's what they said when they looted it.
Holy shit. Beautiful
because I definitely, so I was looking through the Eve appraisal of everything, and it popped up with like 6 Drake BPOs, and I was like, that can't be right, those have to be like blueprint copies. So I'm not sure how many are copies and how many are actual BPOs, but if there's a fully researched Drake BPO in there, that's great. We can just roll off meme fleets whenever we want.
Oh, I love it. And the Drake is coming back with the heavy missile buffs. I think they're in a really good place right now.
Yeah, I think they'll be fun. I'm excited. We have them set aside. We're ready to go. Filaments are back. So, like, all the pieces are in place.
The only problem is the Cyclone's just better.
We don't talk about that, though.
It's better if it's by itself and some or in very small numbers, but it doesn't scale as good because the Drake resists.
Alec, I'd like to introduce you to Noir. Or a small corporation.
Not all the time. We've put 10, 15 man fleets together, and I think in that environment, you want to look at the Drake.
The Cyclone is better.
I think the question between like whether we have like an 8 man fleet and a 15 man fleet is whether Artemis and his 6 alts are there.
And my alts are flying Cyclones, darn it. Minbitar Master Race.
Well, fine. That's fine. The Master Race Scimitars will just have to work harder to keep you alive.
I mean, the Master Race Scimitars will obviously prefer to rep their own kind versus these... I don't even know what insult to fling at them. Everything just sticks. These drakes.
I feel like the drakes being Kaldari would have the money to make those scimitars reconsider. If it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense.
You might have a point there.
So that was awesome. We're looking to do more stuff like this in between contracts. Obviously, there's a lot of money to be had out there. We're a very money-motivated court. And it also was a lot of fun. Good practice for structured contracts of all kinds. If you're interested in doing wormhole hits like that, in addition to doing contract stuff with us, all the more reason to join. But I wanted to speak with you, Andy, about your recent Black Mark Awards sweep. I mean, you definitely swept both of the noir-specific categories, tied for best guest of the entire year. How do you feel about that?
Well, I was actually really surprised, but it felt good. Yeah, I mean, I think definitely the fact that we have a strong voting block helped me out. I think if it wasn't a noir-led kind of votes, I think maybe I would have fallen farther down the list. Maybe not for the noir-specific stuff, but that definitely came in handy.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, I will point out once again this year, it wasn't just noir voting. Normally in past years, noir votes would be the end of it, plus maybe like some guests we've had on the past year. This year was the only time we really opened the voting up to the general Eve public, but you still came out.
Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, I was super excited about it. I was like pleasantly surprised.
Do you have any categories in mind that you want to try to nail this coming year?
Let's see. Well, I'd have to, the options are endless.
CSM representative, perhaps?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
CSM rep of the year?
Too rich for my blood.
Best CCP dev?
Also too rich for my blood.
I think FC of the year is within reach.
Yeah, I definitely, so a couple things. I definitely want to step up FC-wise. So I've never been much of an FC-er, and I've just kind of been flung in. So I think it's been going all right, but I definitely think I could improve there, and it'd be a cool place to kind of step up and lead. And then the other thing is, like, it's killed. Like, I think I want to kind of up those numbers. I've been trying to get on some bigger kills or, like, help facilitate some bigger kills, but I think... Noir wise, I don't think that's actually a Black Mark award, but I think it should be.
The best kill mail horror?
Best, well, yeah, so you gotta kind of gauge it there. The best kill mail, maybe not whoring, but well deserved kill mail.
I do think we could have it wouldn't be a voting award, but it might be an interesting idea to have the, I don't know what exactly we'd name it, but like all the contract. After action voting we do for loot splits and ISK splits, you know, who appeared the most in those like top five killer, best Logie guy, best scout, best FC, etc.
Yeah, that'd actually be a really good idea. Basically every...
Would you call that individual the most valuable pilot in Noir, given that they've received the most rewards?
You would if they were the highest across all categories, but what if they're not? Like, what if you're the top killer on every contract, but you're not the MVP on every contract?
Yeah, what so, if like, you're like the point. Fifth top most killer, but no one thinks you're valuable for anything else? Are you really the most valuable person?
Yeah, then you just have like one category per kind of the main categories we pay out for, and then you have your MVP who's all around.
That's definitely something worth considering. I will keep it in mind.
Plus, it makes more categories, so next time I can make a bigger sweep.
This just wants to make a whole bed of Black Mark Awards. You can roll around in it at night.
Yeah, man. Like, what is it? Like Breaking Bad, where he just falls on the giant pile of money? Yeah, next year, let's go.
I like it. Arnos, why don't you introduce us to our next story?
If I knew anything about our next story, I absolutely would.
Oh, I thought you put this one down.
I knew it happened. But okay, Andy, You got this.
Yeah, I helped out here. I was trying to be productive. So there was a sob fight in BTECW, I think is actually where it kicked off, but the area was KBP. So this is Pravi, and this was part of Wrecking Crew. Basically, they had Intosis this area, and then was up for claim first Providence. Both sides bat-phoned like absolute mad. If we click here, I think it was like 1,200 and so people on the RC side, including I think NCDOT was there. I think Horde was there. PL was there, I believe. Siege Green versus Providence, Brave, Tappy, I think. And
I don't like people.
Hold up, Andy.
Why do you insist on calling them that?
It's feminine derogatory word, Andy.
I'm sorry. I'm just too set in my ways.
That's it. We're going to have to strip you of all of your Black Mark awards. I'm sorry. Andy Astronaut has been canceled.
We can't have hate speech like that.
Oh, man. So I've actually seen the memes, but I didn't see like where that even originated.
Billy on the TIS show, I think.
If you guys haven't seen it, I'll go ahead and I'll include the link to it in the show notes. It's just, it's funny. It's a cultural touchstone for Eve.
Good stuff. So anyways, yeah, so big, huge fight kicked off. RC had some dreads intosising nodes in a system over, and then being outnumbered, Pravi dropped their capital, specifically like a fairly substantial carrier wing. And proceeded to pretty much eat shit. Like, it was nowhere close, isk-wise. I think final tally was 20-some bill to 170 bill, with Pravi being the 170 bill lost. I actually got to this fight, but I got to it very late. So they had pinged, basically, once Pravi dropped capitals, RC started, like, rage pinging for more sabers to pin them down. And that's kind of when I finished up whatever I was doing and hopped on comms and started burning over. They actually ended up losing, or probably ended up winning the timer. So RC unsuccessfully captured the area, but the ISK war was, you know, miles apart. So it ended up, it depends on what your objective was, but it seems like RC came out pretty pretty high in the green. So that's kind of the first part.
Props to Pravi for going in outnumbered and just dropping their cap fleet.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta give props to them because they dropped a ton of carriers. Like, and I think when you're dropping a ton of carriers on a huge grid with a bunch of mechs, like, there's not a huge expectation that you're gonna get many of them out. So I think that was pretty impressive that they, like, at least dropped it and took the fight.
Yeah, I'll give them those props. And in fact, I don't think we talk enough about how resilient Providence has been, especially the past couple of years. More than any other block, they have been continually at war, just years and years on end. I think they maybe had breaks measured in weeks, not months, in between serious, like, either major structure or just actual systems at writ large, like being attacked and sieged by really powerful, strong PvP entities. And they are still hanging in there, and they're still willing to throw down. In fact, they're one of the most up-for-fighting coalitions in the game.
They literally outlived GOTG.
That's true. Well, I mean, in fairness, Pravi Block has outlived just about every coalition you could name. They're the oldest coalition in the game, I believe.
Really?
As far as I know.
Wow.
They have been around since I've been playing. That is damn impressive, especially given that the entirety of EVE sees them as a big punching bag and uses them as such pretty frequently.
And, like, you're regularly hearing stories of just the drama and the internal politics. And, like, it feels like of all the coalitions, theirs is the least well held together at the top. And yet they're still there.
And I think it kind of helps them that the core of the coalition is really like three or four alliances. Everyone else you know, I want to say that they're interchangeable, but like one of the smaller alliances leaving isn't going to destabilize that core because they've been together for so long. So you do have some drama, you do have some shuffling a little bit, but for the most part, that core has remained super stable with CVA clearly in control of the whole thing. Now, we don't like them very much, but you can't let your let your distaste for how they play or their attitude color the fact that they really do deserve respect for their willingness to bring it and just the sheer tankiness of their coalition. That said, they cannot absorb capital losses like this one on a regular basis. So they must have been saving up for this fight. They spent everything they'd stored. I would be shocked if they were able to take two or three more of these within the next couple months. So we may see less cap use out of them in the short term.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see them drop caps very often. And when you do, it's usually like dreads on RC dreads. So this is, I think, the first time I've actually seen them drop a major carrier ball in probably since I've been fighting them, which is almost like coming on year and a half, 2 years now. So yeah, I wouldn't expect them to take... Well, I think they use their carriers pretty sparingly, but when they do, like, I would expect that they don't want to take losses like this very often, or it won't be sustainable.
Well, the thing is, unlike most of the other coalitions, Providence, it's just not very rich space, and because they're roamed so heavily, they're not able to extract it to the fullest. So they're just not a very economically strong coalition compared to most other coalitions in the game. Their economic power isn't there to replace all those ships. Like I said, they could probably do it once, twice, maybe, but not on a regular basis like that. Like you might see a Legacy or an Imperium or a PanFam or even a GOTG.
I've told new players in the past that Providence is a great place to get your feet wet in Nullsec, but it's not a great place to get rich in Nullsec.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about the second part of that fight?
Yes, by all means.
Yeah. So while everything was going down in BTAC W and there was that big cap brawl, there was also a CCP plus Streamfleet Twitch stream that was going on at the same time. So essentially, I think they had 20 some streamers, including kind of all the well-known ones. And some CCP GMs and CCP devs, and they all roamed out in a service fleet also to Pravi and ended up one jump away from that big cat brawl in BTAC W. So they ended up tackling one of the Intosis dreads that RC had. And I think they killed the first one, warped onto a second one, and then that was just as the big... cat brawl was rounding up, so everyone just warped one system over and then absolutely wrecked the GM fleet. So I don't think a single one made it out, but it was kind of cool because I popped up the stream and was watching I think I was watching Bjorn B FC the fleet, and then all of a sudden just gone, bubbles everywhere, and the whole fleet's deleted. But yeah, it was kind of a cool thing that they did. It was cool that they ended up one jump away from where I happened to be. So I tried to whore on a couple CCP kills, but I actually got alpha'd by blue munins that didn't know I was blue before I could get that far.
Oops.
Turns out when there's like six fleets on grid, that if you're not in a fleet with someone and you're not blue to them outside of a fleet, it doesn't work too well for you.
Yep, that tends to be.
Yeah, I was hoping I could be cheeky about it, but it just didn't happen. So, lesson learned.
All right. Well, speaking of economics, the February economic report came out. And I, for one, found the numbers truly fascinating. Normally, I don't get super excited about these, but with this one, I was actually kind of interested. I mean, I'm always a little bit interested, but I don't get, like, hyped. I don't know if either of you guys have had the time to really study it, but... The production line, the amount of ISK created, basically, in market volume terms, has been steadily going down for a bit up until this past October, and then it was steadily going up which you might expect from blackout being turned off and on, or excuse me, on and then off. However, very interestingly, the production values have started to trend down this past month and pretty darn sharply. Meanwhile, ISK Destroyed is going up and has not trended down, which to me is very exciting.
Was the War to Kill GOTG happening in February? Because we have to remember this is February's, not March's thing.
Regardless of reason, I think.
But timing-wise, I believe you're correct. Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
February was a large chunk of it.
But you know, that's all part of it. Big wars are part of it. But for the first time, we're really seeing those two numbers diverge in a positive way, where ISK Destroyed is catching up to ISK Produced, and you know, that's everything, I think, because Eve has kind of been on this inflationary trend for a very long time. I don't know if this pattern will be sustained, but it's the first real signal, large signal we have ever seen that might start to reverse or at least tighten.
And that's even with Owasa now outdoing Delve in terms of ratting amounts. You have like, was it 6 trillion ISK worth of ratting bounties that are just suddenly hitting the economy?
Oh, don't get me started. Botter Heaven? Yeah, probably.
Should we rope in our show poll at this moment?
What do you want the show poll to be?
We have one in the show notes about what should Fraternity do with Branch. Have we given the results from that on the show yet?
We have not. Let's do it. So we asked everybody, after the GOTG war, should Fraternity either consolidate into Branch, rent Branch, but remain in Owasa, or try to occupy both regions simultaneously? By a value of 50%, the plurality of our audience believe they should try to rent Branch and remain primarily in Owasa.
I agree.
Yeah, and with that amount of ISK coming out of Owasa, because it's such a small and isolated region, I can see why it'd be a pretty hard to, like, first of all, if you're getting that much productivity out of Owasa, why would you move to Branch? So forget that. The amount of effort it would take to set Branch up for them to do the same thing is probably, I don't want to say it's not worth it, but compared to the amount of effort it would take to get Ratters set up, it's probably a lot more attractive for them to just try to put renters into Branch and get the ISK from that, the cheap, easy ISK where they don't need to build a whole new super capital umbrella and new logistics lines and all that stuff.
Yeah, so I think I'm in agreement there. Yeah. I think with that much coming out, and I don't know how many like actual pilots they have, but I'd assume they're not anywhere close to as big as Goonswarm. And the fact that they're pulling more out of that area, like, I don't see any reason to move. Like, they're probably getting pretty rich there.
It's also worth noting that Fraternity being a mainly Chinese alliance, the Serenity server just came back online, and a lot of people were upset because it is not getting a full wipe. It's just going back to something like it used to be before it shut down initially. So the current guesstimate as to what is going to occur is that the people who were winning the IBC are going to go back to the server, just clean up all the little messes they didn't do before the server died, and then that'll be it. If you live in NullSec, there's really nothing left for you over on the Serenity server. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to Fraternity or any other major Chinese alliance on TQ if they continue to play here with all of the barriers that prevent them from doing so. But it's definitely something to keep your eye out on, especially if they get embroiled into a major war over here on TQ. They may have some sleeper numbers that are not active right now on TQ because they're busy playing on Serenity that would be motivated to transition if there's an active conflict.
What do you guys feel about the Serenity server getting restarted?
I mean, I think like the whole point of EVE is having a single shard where everyone plays together. I feel like having a separate server is hard because I think a lot of the parts that make EVE unique are having people in different time zones, like forcing you to be a group. If everyone's forced into one time zone and you it just turns very quickly into like who has the bigger side, which I think is exactly what we saw the first time, is you had one side get bigger than the other and then push everyone else out. And I think that's a lot harder to do, not just like time zone taking in a bad way, but having a group that's more diverse, that has people in US and EU. Like we've seen even for us in contracts where having people in EU is huge.
My one take on this is that I don't want Eve, if Eve is like contained by the Chinese censorship regime. And I feel like Serenity does two things. Number one, it lets us escape that. It lets CCP monetize the Chinese market without needing to limit TQ with the censorship that the Chinese government would prefer. And then it also, like, Serenity, I don't think anyone can say that Serenity is as good, quote unquote. It's not as enticing to a hardcore EVE player as TQ would be, at least in my mind. Maybe other players have different priorities. So to me, it feels like Serenity is a recruiting tool for TQ. So players in China will see Serenity, they're like, oh, that looks cool, let me go try to play EVE Online. And they play it, and then on Serenity they find out, oh, and by the way, you can play with the rest of the world on this other server if you just use a VPN and some other nonsense. So in my mind, it feels like Serenity is a necessary evil. I don't like that we have to split the player base like we do, but I feel like we're going to get the best of the Chinese player base moving over to TQ anyway.
Just for pure competitive reasons, you mean?
Exactly, yes.
I think that's a pretty good take on it, given that there's now established like larger Chinese groups on TQ. I think prior, that wasn't as much of a thing. And I think if you were a Chinese player trying to come to TQ previously, like it definitely wasn't impossible. There's been groups for, I think, quite a while, but I think they weren't necessarily as established or as well known as the groups now. So I think now there is a clear link between people who used to be on Serenity and have come to TQ that wasn't there kind of before the initial shutdown.
And I mean, like, unfortunately, there are significant barriers to play. There is the fact that you have to use a VPN. There's not the most robust language accommodations for people who speak Chinese. I think there was recently an issue where you couldn't even name your ship with Chinese characters or something like that. And then, of course, there's like just plain racism of the player base. EVE is known to have a very edgy player base with really, really bad outliers at times. And unfortunately, there's also generally a culture where if there's a language barrier between two groups of players, then there is also a divide between those players where they don't work together well. So I think it's difficult for Chinese groups to integrate themselves into existing power blocks. Just look at what happened at DOTG, where they tried to integrate a larger group of Chinese players, and then racism happened, and then like Slice was kicked out of the coalition because there was disagreements on whether botting was happening and people were called racist, whether they were or not, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it creates a whole bunch of very difficult situations, and it does raise some barriers for those players to come over. So I think the players we are getting who are coming to TQ from China are like the cream of the crop.
That makes sense to me. Our fraternity's certainly done pretty well for itself since they've been here. Mangoes as well.
I mean, yeah, I was about to say, Mangoes just killed a freaking 150 billion-esque Satoyu out in, was it Owasa or was it Omist? I don't remember. So they're not doing too bad for themselves. And you've got Ranger Regiment, who are now down in the Imperium. You've got, was it PLA, who are in Goonswarm, been in the Imperium for a while. Like, not only, there are multiple successful Chinese-focused alliances, and I think that's fantastic.
It's great to see, and I'm disappointed that Serenity restarted. I think you made a pretty good case for it, Artemis. I really hope that the Chinese players which have come over decide to stay and not go back. I think you're right, they probably won't.
Yeah, I tend to agree, but that would be like my concern, is that you might have some good players that are going to go away and go back to the original server. But hopefully that doesn't happen for the reasons you said. I agree that TQ is more competitive. There's more variety. There's different challenges.
Insert transition here.
Yeah, I was just going to say, can you do the transition? Because speaking of challenges, the wormhole community has had their fair share recently.
Oh, boy. Okay, so to catch everyone up, there was an eviction that took place. Hard Knocks, Inner Hell, and Laser Hawks all teamed up. Inner Hell being Russian, Hard Knocks and Laser Hawks being like the biggest of the non-Russian speaking, I say biggest, the most powerful of the non-Russian speaking wormhole groups. And they were teaming up to evict TD Sin, otherwise known as Scary Wormhole People. Igzuki, the CSM representative for the wormholers, is a member of that group. And they teamed up to evict them after some changes happened to wormhole space. And these changes are important because they changed the way that wormhole rolling mechanics work, such that you can no longer roll frigate wormholes. And the wormhole community was split on this issue. I'm not going to say it was a 50-50 split. I don't even know what the split was. But needless to say, both sides were very loud and very angry about it. And as a result of this eviction happening of the alliance in which the CSM representative was, there was also the fact that the CSM summit was happening at the same time, which started ruffled a bunch of feathers. And then there was the fact that these changes came into place, all of which created this massive drama storm. And of course, like, someone is literally losing their home, which is not the best thing to have happen. So you had Inner Hell, Laser Hawks, and Hard Knocks teaming up on one side. You had TD Sin and all of the allies they could get in on the other side. And unfortunately, K-Space, NullSec alliances, came into the fray. So initially we saw the Initiative join on the Defender side, join to help TD Sin. And then Fraternity came in and actually swung a pretty pivotal fight in the initial eviction for the attacker side, for Inner Hell, Laser Hawks, and them. So what ended up happening is TD Sin lost their hull. They were evicted. Bunch of losses there. But at the same time, the Initiative was like, well, you know, we lost that fight, but we evicted Rage once. What if we just go and evict it again? So they did that, and they found a frigate wormhole entrance into Rage, which, again, ruffled feathers, managed to get a Kiki fleet into it, and started bashing structures and ended up evicting Rage Part 2. And ever since then, there has just been a regular string of evictions occurring. There have been attempts to evict mostly farm holes of the Inner Hell, Hard Knocks, Laser Hawks block, because, frankly speaking, the Frigate Hole Coalition, as they're known, TD Sin and their allies, don't have the numbers or the coordination at this time to try and evict Hard Knocks, Laser Hawks, or Inner Hell from their home holes. Inner Hell doesn't even have a home hole, so to speak, because their eviction is their gameplay. So that's going on right now. At the moment, a lot of the Frigate Hole Coalition is just being systematically evicted by Quasar Knocks, I think is the old school name for Inner Hell in their group. And some farm holes for Quasar Knocks are being attempted to be evicted. I don't know if any of them have been successful. I think some of them have, but in terms of the amount of losses taking place, Frigate Hole Coalition is losing more. That said, once your home hole has been evicted, what do you have left to do other than strike back and try and group up with other players in order to make a lasting impact on your attackers? So it's still not over. There's literally an eviction happening right now by the Quasar Knocks Coalition on a member of the Frigate Hole Coalition. So we'll definitely keep you updated as things go on. It's all going to be a matter of morale, honestly. Right now, the Quasar Knocks Coalition definitely has the numbers, and they have the organization, because they are three rather large, for wormhole space at least, groups working together. They have a history of working together versus a large number of disparate organizations, all of whom have their own home holes to defend. So that has been the main, as I understand it, sticking point and preventing the Frigate Hole Coalition from striking back in any major way, is because at any given time, one of them is getting evicted. So once all of them are evicted, or once Quasar Knocks needs to slow down and catch a breath, then we'll see if the momentum can shift in this war. But it's going to be You're not going to see big blowout fights like the eviction of TD Sin or the eviction of Rage. It's going to be smaller organizations from the Brigade Hole Coalition getting systematically evicted over time. And then we'll see if that is enough to grind down the morale of the Brigade Hole Coalition in order to make them stop evicting the farm holes of Quasernox. Or maybe it will motivate them and they'll actually try and headshot one of the home systems of Laetherhawks or Hardnox again. We'll find out.
Either way, it's going to be a pretty big undertaking for so many groups to coordinate like that. Like, you can
I would be amazed if they pull it off. Like, with the amount of drama that happens and just the sheer number of wormhole groups that are in the quote-unquote Frigate Hole Coalition, I would be amazed if they manage to pull off their...
I mean, you gotta think about comms, doctrines, timers, communication, all that stuff. Not to mention any interpersonal drama which might happen. You know, you can get 20 people with 1,000 characters each, or excuse me, 20 groups with 1,000 characters, never going to be as good as two groups with 10,000.
And like you do have to be careful when you're looking into this topic, because wormhole space is well known for just flat out lying to people about what is happening, and then also carefully crafting narratives beyond Mitanni's wettest dream. So be careful which side you're listening to. Make sure you know what biases they have. Me, for instance, I am definitely rooting for the Frigate Hole Coalition, even though we've got some Noir Bros and Laserhawks, Hyzeth. I like the underdog, so I'm rooting for the underdog here. That's my two cents. Also, I feel like the Quasernox Coalition, a lot of them were like, yo, we do evictions, and this new Frigate Hole thing makes it impossible for evictions to happen. And yet, what are we seeing? Evictions are systematically occurring. And in fact, an eviction was made possible of Rage of Hardnox's home system because a Frigate Hole spawned and an initiative was able to infill. So definitely the game has changed because of the Frigate Hole adjustment, the fact that you can't roll them anymore. I don't think it has removed gameplay in any sense of the term. So I do have that problem with the narrative being spun by the Quasernox Coalition. But
yeah, it doesn't make sense, like conceptually, that it would remove content.
It'll also be interesting to see, because with the Frigate Hole change also came a massive adjustment to the spawning of wormholes. So they were much more likely to spawn roaming wormholes. Wormholes have, there are two different kinds. There's a static and there's a roaming. Each wormhole system has a certain static or two, depending on the class of wormhole, to some other area of space. It could be wormhole space. It could be J space. Or pardon me, it could be K space. And it depends on the wormhole system you're talking about. And then there are roaming wormholes, which will randomly spawn between two systems. Could be wormhole, could be wormhole, K-space, could be K-space, K-space. But those random wormholes were kicked up quite a few notches in a recent patch. And CCP has said that they're looking at to see what happens as a result of this. And they may be tuning it up or tuning it down in the future based on what their data shows them. So... that is currently in play right now. We'll see how it is adjusted in the future and if that has any impact on this quote-unquote war. War is probably a proper term, but it feels like an inadequate term to describe what is happening right now. It is an upheaval, I think, is a more accurate term. An upheaval of wormhole space.
It's pretty cool. You know, I'm wondering if we'll ever get involved in it. Seems like there's a lot of people with deep pockets involved, which is always a good sign for us.
We can always hope, right? I think we've learned from experience that wormhole stuff can be fairly challenging, but I think also the Frigate Hole changes and the inability to roll them means that we maybe have more possibility than ever to actually like get into a wormhole and help defenders or attackers in some way.
Yeah, like Noir's, was it our first big contract after our reform? Was we were called in to make an attempt at the saving of the Keepstar for Nomex for Anomalous Existence. And unfortunately, we tried for days just constantly forcing them to rage roll the hole. We had allies who were rage rolling their own static in order to try and get lucky and get a connection in, and it never happened. And I think if a Frigate Hole had spawned and could not have been rolled, that would have completely changed that fight.
Like, oh, yeah. We did 100%. Eventually get in there, but like the Keepstar was like a 10% structure at that point. It was ridiculous.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think it was pretty clear that they had the ships. They just didn't have the pilots for them. And I think they even had some of their own guys that were stuck outside for quite a while.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think Noir would love to get involved, and who knows, maybe we'll stick our noses in just for kicks and giggles. But if you have cash, that'll definitely determine which side we're on.
Yeah. There's one way to make sure of it and make sure that we get involved in a way that benefits you. And we are very affordable in our defense. In fact, I've gotten feedback about how affordable we are. Pretty nice to hear. All right, our last bit. No real smooth transition here, other than, I guess, from one area of the game CCP has largely neglected but recently made changes to another area of the game CCP has largely neglected and is recently making changes to. LoSec is finally getting a patch, specifically Faction Warfare. And it is, I gotta say, I'm cautiously optimistic here. It's a very interesting direction they have chosen to go. It sounds more like what I was kind of hoping Faction Warfare would be when I first heard about the feature way back when. The core concept is that loyalty point payouts for PvP kills are going up, and loyalty point payouts for missions are going down. The effect of this is that getting PvP kills in Faction Warfare is now much more valuable relative to doing the PvE stuff, which is pretty darn huge.
There's also new sites, which I didn't even notice in the initial dev blog, but previously the only sites battleships could enter were the quote-unquote large Faction Warfare complexes, which had no gate on them, which means, yes, battleships could get in, but so could, like, carriers and dreadnoughts and supers. Granted, you could sino them in there, but you could warp them in. And because there were no sinos, that meant nobody could hot drop you in response. So that has been an irk to the battleship pilots of LoSec for quite some time. So this new frigate escape bay, plus the increased warp speed battleships saw a couple patches ago, plus the LoSec wide effect of everything just has plus 2 AU warp speed, means that battleship pilots are going to have a super fun time with the new complexes, which allow battleships and lower to enter. And it has a gate, which means no caps. And also, you can't warp your nano gang in at 100 and just snipe the battleship that's sitting there brawling at zero. So that is super freaking exciting. I'm really excited to see how that turns out, especially how it plays into the way Faction Warfare, like actual Faction Warfare battles happen over control of systems. It is my current understanding, although don't quote me on this, that all complexes are worth the same in terms of control of a system. So I don't think these battleship-sized sites will have a significant impact on battles that occur in Faction Warfare space over control of that space itself. But I may be wrong in my understanding of the mechanics and how this change will impact them.
Well, it is true that only a certain number of things are going to be spawning. So if some of those are battleship, and it's a full court press to try to control. If somebody's going after that battleship complex and you don't contest it, they're going to get that. So it's kind of like you can kind of force the defender or the attacker into that situation. Either they engage with you in that battleship complex or they concede that value.
The only issue there is reshipping is a big part of these Faction Warfare things, at least so I'm told. And that battleship complex, even if you do successfully capture it, well, then it goes away and something new spawns. And if you're in battleships, 3 out of the 5 sites that now exist, you can't get into. So you're better off in frigates, because if a novice spawns and the hostiles are in cruisers, you can go capture that novice and make the same progress they're in, or they make in their battleship site, as you make in your frigate site, which I know is something a lot of Faction Warfare pilots aren't happy about.
Conveniently, they're adding a frigate escape bay into the battleships so that you can bring a frigate with you. You know, if you happen to die, you pop out in it. If you don't happen to die, you can just dock up and swap.
One interesting quirk of these mechanics is if you eject from your ship, like right-click and eject from your battleship, you show up in that frigate, which a lot of people initially thought this was a useless change. No one would use it. But recently, Bjorn B, and I think, was it Squishy, Extra Squishy, whatever he's called, the dude who, like, posts the meme videos on YouTube and streams a lot, they both showed some interesting uses for this, where you're roaming in a buffer-tanked battleship, and you just keep a rep frigate inside of your battleship, so that if you need to rep up after a fight, you can do that. You can also keep a combat prober, or a ship with a bunch of cargo space to store your cap boosters. all of which just makes quality of life easier on these battleships trying to solo PvP.
That's actually super, yeah, this is a super interesting use. I haven't, I didn't see that, and I hadn't heard about it. I know we kind of, when the announcement first got posted, we talked a little bit about how we might use it as a corp, but then I've also seen some other solo people kind of talking about ideas for how they'd use the Frigate Bay. I know a lot of people who are soloing are talking about how it might make it possible to use kind of your more expensive clones in Nullsec. Basically, if you fit an overprop Sancha frigate, I forget the name right now, you can just overheat and burn out of a bubble in your high grade whatever pod and potentially get it out of a bubble if you're stuck in Nullsec.
That's, yeah, it goes like 4k a second with an afterburner or something like that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's absolutely wild. And
I'd honestly do dual prop over overprop, because overprop takes a while to spool up, and if you get webbed, you're sunk. If you go dual prop, you still got the afterburner there if you get scrammed, but you have like instant velocity versus it takes you 2 or 3 seconds to get up to your 4k a second.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know exactly how they're fitting them, but I'd have to like go look. But I think the idea is that it might make, you know, for better or for worse, we see a lot of people using really blingy pods in low sec because you know you can get them out. It might make that more possible in null sec as well.
I'm glad you brought up the blingy pods in low sec thing, because there's also an event that's happening in low sec right now. It's the Champions of Low Sec event, where the alliance with the highest amount of ISK value killed and low sec PvP kills during from the 26th to the 31st of March will get some rewards, and also their flag will be flown over CCP's new headquarters for like a month. And as a result, like, basically people are camping gates in low sec looking for roaming kills, but also camping them in smart bombing ships, just trying to kill all of those blingy pods warping around. So that's careful if you're traveling through low sec.
Much to the chagrin of our interceptor bros trying to get from one place to another.
Yeah.
Speaking of the limited event, there's also they've kind of tweaked some things. I noticed they're doing this more and more with patch releases, where they're applying different loot drop or different effects depending on where you are. I kind of like it, especially as an incentive, a temporary incentive for people to try new things. In this case, up till April 6th, you will have increased loot drops and increase in warp speed in low sec, which is pretty huge. Now, I don't have exact numbers on how increased, but
you also have the increase, like, well, it's not an increase. They're just new options to gain free skill points for killing faction warfare NPCs. So while you're roaming around low sec, getting your added loot drops with your extra warp speed, kill some faction warfare NPCs and get some skill points too. As well as tank your faction standing, of course.
Yeah, that's the one hesitancy I have about this kind of stuff. I really want to try faction warfare kind of with these changes, but I'm hesitant because of the faction hits, standing hits. What about you guys? Is this kind of change something that make you want to try it?
I mean, it's always been something that I've kind of been interested in, but never really done as far as like join one of the militia sides, for kind of the exact same reason you did. Like, I think faction warfare can be unique in that it's like one of the few places you can get one-on-ones fairly frequently. Like, you still can get blobbed in plexes and all that kind of stuff, but you actually have like a better chance of getting out or getting one-on-ones. So I kind of have thought about it a lot, but never really pulled the trigger just because of that. Like, if you pick a side and you tank your standing, then you've kind of cut off half the EVE universe for yourself, at least for the foreseeable future, until you can work your standings back up.
I think for me, like most pilots, my PvP started as being the solo frigate roaming through faction warfare looking for fights and trying to learn. And so I've grown to quite enjoy, or at least I have a lot of nostalgia for the times of solo frigate roaming in low sec. Granted, that was back when off-grid links were a thing and it literally almost made me quit the game, but those are gone now, so that's nice. I think if I ever retire from Noir and playing EVE in a hardcore sense, I'm going to retire to Faction Warfare low sec if it's still a thing, because Faction Warfare has the promise of it has the promise of instant gratification, in the sense of you can undock and go and either be useful to your faction by capturing some ISK, or just go get some freaking PvP, which I think is awesome. And it's definitely something I've wanted to experience, because there's a whole different style of combat and fleet fights in Faction Warfare than you'll get anywhere else in EVE. So it's something I've always wanted to try. Plus, you know, neutral alts, use that for hauling and just don't care about the standing.
Yeah. I've got some specific numbers now. The increase in warp speed is 2 AU a second flat for all ships. It's pretty nice for your battlecruisers and your battleships and your caps as well. Your cap ships will be zooming around. and as far as the LP changes, it seems like, and I don't have a great sense of what exactly this means because I haven't done it, but apparently CCP describes the LP payout route for PvP kills as when the attacker held tier 5 war zone control, and it is now fixed, no longer linked to the tier multiplier.
Oh, that's actually huge. So that means, so previously the amount of LP you'd get for just about everything was determined by what tier you were at. And unfortunately, it meant that if you were winning, you would get more LP. So basically, when somebody lost the war, there was a massive incentive for them to just stop playing on their particular side, go spin up some neutral alts to farm LP on the other side until the LP market was tanked, and then it'd be time to flip the war zone again. What this change means is that now the PvPers specifically still have incentive to stay with their side and continue to PvP and get kills in order to gain LP, and importantly, LP in the market, which is being flooded by all the mission farmers. So I think this is actually huge in terms of making sure that the war zone stays vibrant and stays focused more on PvP, and rather than, oh, which side is the market good? Do we need to flip the thing in order to farm LP for the other side now? That's actually a really interesting and effective nuance to this change that I think is undervalued. I've never heard that before, and that is an amazing change if that's the way it works.
It's in the patch notes. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, that is like...
LP payout for the missions themselves reduced by about 30%.
I'll need to poke some Faction Warfare dudes and make sure that my understanding of the mechanics is not wrong. Like, it may not be as impactful as I think it will be just based on player behavior, but the way it attempts to incentivize player behavior is huge. It shows the CCP properly understands the need to incentivize combat in terms of capturing Warzone, even when your Warzone is currently losing. Because previously, like, if you lost the war zone, it would just suck to suck. Everything was worth less, and all your hostiles were just raking in the cash in terms of LP.
Yeah, and I think you explained it pretty well. But then because of that, like, as a consequence of that, the strategy was basically have alts on both sides, log into the one that's winning, just absolutely smash the other side, rake in your LP, and then when the market tanks, everyone swaps to the other side and flips everything the other way. And then it was just kind of a back and forth. And so you'd have a lot of people that aren't really like picking a side per se. They just have alts on both sides, and then they'll play on whatever side is most profitable.
We should totally, like, in a month's time, have a Faction Warfare dude on and talk to him about how has this change affected the Warzone, because I think that'll be a really interesting episode.
I'm pretty excited about it. I'm just excited to see LoSec get some love, too. I'd love for non-Faction Warfare LoSec to get love, but these changes are pretty exciting, and things that help Faction Warfare help people that roam LoSec, because the more people in Faction Warfare, the more people to go kill.
Have we mentioned that Snuff is back yet?
No, we have not.
Oh, well, Snuff is kind of back. So a bunch of the snuffed out corps that joined Trigger Happy have since left and rejoined Snuff. I'm not sure if like Haiwanto and Tau AD are back on different characters and still running their fleets again, or if it's just dudes who think they can make Snuff 2.0. But Snuff is there, and they've like been throwing capitals and I think supers around a little bit. Certainly not in the numbers they used to, and not as often as they used to, but at least some dudes are making a go at making Snuff happen again. So that's a thing.
Well, speaking of capitals, that is my host highlight. It was just on a carrier drop. It was a lot of fun. We were out there in Fountain right now. We dropped on a ratting carrier. I got the ping for it as I was wrapping something up, and as soon as it ended, I was racing on Mumble. I hopped on. I've heard them, like, as the tackler was approaching the Archon, it was like 50 kilometers off. I could not log in fast enough. And I warped to the Black Ops just as the bridge went up. Managed to get in, and it was a really great fight. It did kill one of our bombers, but we did, in fact, kill the carrier. Nothing super special about it. It was just fun. And we did it with like 10 stealth bombers. Nice little ratting Archon.
My host highlight is somewhat related to that. So that kill is part of a contract that we're currently on. I'm not going to talk more about it. But I was trying to get out to the contract area, taking a couple Sabres and a couple of Arazus over. Not really paying attention. Quad boxing as I do, just traveling through Nullsec. And had some girlfriend aggro. So I warp one of my Sabres to a gate and get caught in a bubble. And like, I had done the thing that you're supposed to do, where you warp to a ping first, or in this case, I warped to an asteroid belt first, then warped in. But the bubble was at zero on a gate. It was a flycatcher bubble. And so I just landed on this gate 12 kilometers off. And because I wasn't paying attention, just sat there. So the dude in his vigilant flies out and nukes my saber. Fine, whatever. I have another saber that's still burning through. And two Arazus in tow. So I keep moving through. I be more careful taking the Arazus through that particular system. But the gate camper follows my saber and watches where I warp my saber to, watches which Celestial I warp my saber to. In this particular case, I warped it to a Fortizar in a couple systems down at a ping, or to use as a ping for the gate, and then tried to warp through the gate. So he sees this, and he reships his Vigilant into a Phoenix, and bubbles up on the Fortizar itself, which of course I don't see. Until I warp both of my Arazus, trying to warp at 100 to this Fortizar, and instead get sucked right into the bubble and on top of a Phoenix, which nukes them both. And I was so freaking salty at getting outplayed and also just not paying attention because of girlfriend aggro that I straight up rage quit. It's like the first time I've rage quit even a long time, at least that I remember. I was so freaking angry, but well played to that guy for like following my saber, finding out which Celestials, which in this case it was a Fortizar, I was using his pings, and then bubbling on it and dropping a Phoenix in order to kill my two Arazus.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give him credit for that one. I often use structures near gates as convenient safe pings, so I would definitely could see myself getting caught by that same approach.
I was unbelievably salty. Like, I could not play video games for 2 days afterwards. I was just so... Wow. Props to you, dude. Like, outplayed me.
Let's see. So my highlight is actually a message I got on Discord. Like Artemis, I won't really talk about our contract right now, but I was in a fleet for said contract, and then this Discord message popped up, and this guy's like, oh, hey, I saw you're in fleet with me right now. I know you from RC fleets, and I've flown Logi with you, and I just want to say thanks for not being a dick because I'm Logi 4, because for those of you that fly Logi, 5 is almost always, like, not required, but highly, highly recommended, but when you're low on Logi, having another body is always better than nothing, so I try to, you know, not be like, oh, get Logi 5, go away, and tell people like, yeah, come in, let's, you know, we need more people to rep, the more the better. And so apparently I had flown with this guy a couple times, and he like recognized my name. And then also, small world, he ended up being friends of a high sec group that we actually helped defend a structure. So early on, I think it wasn't the first Nora contract, but it was probably like the second or third. It was a high sec group that was trying to defend their structure. And he happened to be friends with them. And so he was like, yeah, I know you guys from that too. So it was cool to kind of hear that, number one, I was recognized, and number two, that, you know, he saw Noir and thought good of us and was excited that we were in fleet with him. So that was definitely my highlight.
Okay. Like, I'm all for being nice to the dude because he's flying Logi. And I agree that you should not just kick him out and say, get good scrub, train Logi 5. But seriously, dude, train Logi 5. It is so important. So,
it really is. So, okay, so I told him the same thing, but he had a very good reason. He was like a sub 1 year character, so he hasn't been playing for all that long. And I mean, like, I think I, Logi 5 was one of the things I trained like almost right away. But, you know, when you have doctrine ships and other things that you fly other times, like, it takes a little bit to get some of those level 5 skills. But I did tell him you should train it.
A character with Logi 5 is welcome in literally any doctrine.
Yeah, the Logi 5 and Interceptor 5 and the drone damage thing to 5. I forgot the name of the drone skill, but those are like the
drone three most important.
Yes, that's the one. Those are by far the three most important level 5 skills in the game.
I wholeheartedly agree, but yeah, that was actually my next message to him. He's like, yeah, you should definitely still train it. But, like, I understand, like, not everyone has it yet.
All right. And just finally, some shout-outs. I want to give a shout-out to my friend Croven. Apparently, he took a 7-year break from EVE. Just came back and convoed me. He came back in January. Managed to see me online. It was so awesome to see him. He was one of the first EVE people that I met IRL outside of like an actual dedicated EVE gathering. And I actually got to like hang out with him for quite an extended period of time. He's a really cool dude. And I was so jazzed to see him back and playing. And he's hooked up with Tri. He's having a great experience out there. So I just wanted to welcome him back and say hi. I literally just got out of a conversation with him to start this show. He convoed me mere minutes before. I was just so excited to see him. So, Artemis?
My shout-out goes to the rest of Noir for carrying my my tilted butt through this contract.
And then my shout-out goes to Rob Mason, who is another one of our court mates. We talked about the huge wormhole loot haul, but that ended up getting extracted from the wormhole across maybe like 10 systems just because there was so much, and we kept collapsing holes as we would take loot in and out. And so Rob has a couple haulers that he's been using to help me get everything consolidated, and I think it would take me probably weeks if not a month on my own, so having him help was like massive.
Yeah, don't let anybody tell you Nora doesn't have a European time zone. Guys like Robert are absolutely invaluable, and our European time zone is full of really cool, very dedicated players. He's just such a good dude, Rob.
He really is.
Very selfless.
Yeah.
Selfless with his time, selfless with his knowledge. Good guy.
Also, we have a token angry Russian in Yanni. That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Where is Jedi from? I want to say he's Russian too, but his accent isn't like... Is Jedi Russian too?
No.
No? Where is Jedi from?
Scandinavian, I thought.
Scandinavian? Okay. I'm sorry, Jedi, if that was like a cultural insult. I know you weren't Murrican. That's all I knew.
It's definitely not Murrican.
All right, can we end the show before I insult
yes,
more
let's
people?
Let's get out of here. We got a Clear Skies marathon to get to. That is it, guys. Head to declarationsofwar.com to participate in the show poll. Once again, we are recruiting. We could use a few more good mercs. Trying to get the corp a little more growth this year. Our NAR Academy plans unfortunately stalled out due to some RL issues with our Australian time zone. But we are still looking to bring in people. If you're on the newer side and you're really dedicated, feel like you could pick things up quickly, we're definitely willing to talk to you. So, you know, just do it. Don't be intimidated. Take the plunge into PvP. Take the plunge into EVE Mercenary life. You'll thank yourself later. Join CafeNoir.in-game for more info. And wherever you are, good hunting, listeners.